I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hello, Definitely Dieheads. We are back. It's 2017. Have you missed us? Those 2 weeks that we were gone without actually even really being gone. We gave you some greatest hits. How'd you love them? You loved them a lot. Good to hear.
Great.
Madeline, how's your 2017 kicking off?
Oh, it's kicking off so great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went home for 2 whole weeks and I feel like a little normal again because I kicked that old 2016 exhaustion.
Nice. Now, do you feel normal? Now, does going home make you feel normal or does returning from home make you feel normal?
No, going home makes me feel normal. It always, like, for some reason, helps me, like, reset. I think it's, like, just sort of that programming of being in college, you know,
right.
Where, like, you go home after finals and then you're like, all right. I recharge my batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, you know, I go home and I always kind of sit around, hang out with my family and, like, try my hardest not to do much of anything. And
That
always makes me feel like kind of ready to get back into action LA.
Me going home, I try to get things accomplished and it's impossible.
Oh, you can't.
No, it's not possible. Especially because my parents are divorced and they live, like, far enough apart from each other that, like, any downtime is just spent traveling between them.
Oh,
like, they don't
yeah.
live so far away that I can't visit both of them. They just live far enough away so that I can, and it's irritating.
They live, like, the annoying
yeah.
amount of far away. Like, they live attainably far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They live almost exactly one episode of this podcast apart from each other, like about an hour 15.
they live the distance where it does not force you to make a choice.
No.
And that's frustrating.
And it's also, they live far enough so that it doesn't make sense to get a hotel in between them.
No.
That's just, any hotel that would be between them is just 45 minutes from both.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I don't go home. I don't go home for the holidays because that's one of the things about divorced parents is that you have to choose which one you're going to celebrate with, and I just won't do it.
No.
So I stay here. I'm grumpy.
You choose no one.
I choose no one. I have a real Grinch's Eve.
I like Scrinch.
I was combining Scrooge and Grinch accidentally, and we'll call it Scrinch.
The Scrinch sounds like it describes the face that the Grinch makes.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, real Scrinch. Scrinch face.
Yeah, he's got a scrinched up face. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Scrooge has a real, how do you say it? Grooge.
A Grooge up face.
He's got a Grooge up face.
Scrooge with his
Grooge.
His ugly Grooge.
A good Scrinch and a decent Grooge. Wow, we're off to a good start.
We're off to a Grooge start.
2017.
Ben, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
But only because I know that if I call it that, then I'm not going to do it because I rebel against my own authority.
Yeah.
But I definitely plan on getting my shit together this year in terms of. I wouldn't say that I live unhealthily.
No, I wouldn't say that either.
No, I mean, I'm pretty decent, but I do know that when I get into a bad rut, that I spiral. And so I'm going to try to be way more cognizant of those times when I can see myself going down a bad path. Like, I'm one of those people who will, like, around Thanksgiving, for instance, I'll say, okay, I'm going to have, like, a nice cheat day. Not that it's a cheat day because I don't have a regimen that I, you know, routinely stick to. But I'll say around Thanksgiving, okay, on Thursday, I'm just going to go all out. It's a celebratory day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy it. And once I do that, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I just go down a really unhealthy path. And then by Monday, it's like, okay, I need to get myself back on track. But I have really bad body dysmorphia, which I didn't realize until this year. And so one of the great takeaways has been that, like, if I give myself these, like, 4 days, that I'm going to hate myself for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I feel myself hating myself right now.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, I'm going to try to nip that in the bud. What about you?
I make resolutions a lot of times just like sort of in the middle of the year. I'm like, oh, I'm going to start doing a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then sometimes my New Year's resolutions are successful. My 2016 resolutions were patently unsuccessful. My two resolutions were to finally get a good therapist.
Oh.
I got none. I never even tried. And to send people birthday cards.
Oh.
Like, I did not send
like
a
like the physical card.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, like I would love to just like have a little. I'm like bad with knowing when people's birthdays are, mm-hmm. and that makes me feel bad. So I was like, oh, it would be nice to kind of integrate some like sort of awareness of like when people's birthdays are, and just that tiny effort to like send someone a card, because I have a couple friends who do that, and it always makes me feel so, so good.
It is nice.
I didn't send a single birthday card.
No. You told me once it wasn't a card, but you contacted me a few days after my birthday once and told me that you were sorry that you forgot my birthday, but that I had to forgive you because you also forgot your dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And it was it was a nice way to, like, oh, well, I mean, I'm not going to take that personally.
Yeah.
She definitely is it was nice that you pointed out that this was sort of like a universal difficulty for you. It did actually make me feel considerably better. So my suggestion to you would be maybe send them out super late, but include that little message that says, like, you're among the list of everyone that I care about, and I can't I didn't remember your
birthday. I know. Maybe I'll just send them all. Yeah, like I'll just like send them all at once.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, you had a birthday last year. This is me wishing you a happy birthday from 2016.
You don't have to wait until the day this person came out of their mother to tell them that you're happy that they were born, you know?
Hey.
So when you do it, you do it.
I like that.
Yeah, feels nice.
You know what? That feels like a great way to attack 2017.
That's our New Year's. That's our definitely dying New Year's resolution: is to tell the people that we care about them when they pop into our minds,
not when they popped out of their mom's wombs.
Exactly. When they pop, we can't end it any better way than that. Let's enjoy a great podcast, the first one of 2017.
Woo!
Woo!
Listeners, happy new year. Welcome to 2017. For our first guest of 2017, we have a very special guest. He is a writer on the House sketch team at UCB New Money. You can see him acting in TV shows like Son of Zorn and movies like Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. He was a writer on a DreamWorks show that comes out in 2017, and he told me to make some kind of joke about leaving the toilet seat down because he really loves jokes about how we're a married couple and how we're like kind of like have like domestic characteristics of like a sitcom couple, but really our relationship is much more nuanced than that. So I'm not going to make a joke about the toilet seat, but I will introduce my husband, Ben Green.
Oh, I'm so angry you defied me.
So you've heard the podcast before. At least you tell us that you have.
No, I'm a huge fan.
Okay,
thank
you.
Almost every episode.
Thank you so much. We're big fans of you as well as your podcast, which we probably should have mentioned as well.
Oh, yeah.
Madeline, kick it off.
On the Cusp is a podcast. It was kind of one of the things that inspired me to also want to do a podcast because I'm more or less just a copycat of a lot of what Ben does. He made this great podcast called On the Cusp. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it was just interviews with people from the UCB community. It was trying to be kind of a time capsule of what they were like right now, based on the idea that a lot of them are probably going to be very famous someday.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a fun resource to have audio of them in the more struggling period of their careers.
Ben interviewed George Clooney right before he took off.
Everybody I interviewed skyrocketed.
It's considered a launching pad to greatness, and it should be. I've been on it. Madeline's been on it.
Yeah.
And look at us now.
Look at us now. We also have a podcast.
We do.
Yeah. A lot of definitely dying guests were on the cusp, like Jessica McKenna.
Yeah.
Betsy Sodaro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has Paul Welsh been on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We don't talk about it, so but yeah, he's been on.
If you want to hear them talking about struggles in their careers and a little bit about their childhood,
mm-hmm.
go to my podcast, which I haven't done for about a year, but I'm thinking of doing some more episodes soon.
You nice. Really should. Yeah. Everybody loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of the best question askers. Truly, like, so both of Ben's parents are journalists, and so I feel like it's in your blood to, like, ask good questions. So it's kind of a shame that we're interviewing you because I am much better at interrupting someone when I have a funny thought than asking a great question.
No, you guys are very good. Oh. And all these compliments are making me nervous. You're buttering me up so that you can smash me down at some other later place in the interview.
Let's move on. Ben, we got your results.
Are they good?
They're great. You're going to live forever.
Oh, that's a curse, too.
So are we.
Oh, then we're going to have fun.
As undead corpses.
Oh, ho.
We'll see how it goes. So you've listened to the podcast before, so you know the question that we've kicked off every episode with. What you don't know is that you will be the last person to answer this question as... Starting in 2017, we are transitioning to a new question format to kick off this podcast. So what we are going to do is we will bring, starting today, we will bring out our hat of hypochondria.
The hat of hypochondria.
You will open it up. Ghosts will fly out. We'll see what happens. So you'll pull a question from the hat and you will answer that as your original question. But we wouldn't just throw away the question that has founded this podcast for all these months. So you'll be the last to answer that one and the first to pull from the hat. And we couldn't think of a better guest to end one or start another. Isn't that true?
It's Zig. True.
Isn't that true, Zig?
Very true.
Thank you.
I feel very honored. Thank you, guys.
It really is an honor.
Very exciting.
No, me. It is. It's and we like it wasn't just hap chance that you're our first guest of 2017. Mm-hmm. We very specifically wanted you to be the launch pad for our new format.
Thank
we're entering drive time radio. It's 9 a.m., folks. Skies are clear. Roads are straight. I don't really listen to Drive Time. Okay.
Is Drive Time one thing, or is it just like a category of radio?
It's rush hour radio. So it's I think it's the morning. Like so up until I think it's up until 10 a.m. maybe something like that.
Okay.
And then from like 4 to 6 or 4 to 7 or something.
Cool.
It's like. You're listening to Beetle and Big Head in the morning.
Yeah.
We're giving out big, big, big prizes.
Dibs on being Beetle. Big Head.
Then you can be in the morning.
Yeah, you're in the morning.
Perfect.
You just have to make the sound of the sun rising and the birds chirping. It'll be good.
I can do that. I can play that on my recorder.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, whip out the recorder. I knew there was a reason we asked you to bring your recorder. We have gotten nowhere.
I know. We're having too much fun.
Yeah. Okay.
So should we ask let's ask the original question?
Okay. The original question, Ben Green, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
And I would say I think about it like a 7 or 8.
Yeah? You're thinking about it so that's a pretty good amount.
Because I'm about a 7 or 8 in terms of being afraid to die. But I'm I would say a 10 in terms of loving life.
Oh yeah,
and wanting to stay alive.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
I think a lot about the fact that I'd love to get a robot body someday.
Oh yeah.
And
do you think about this a lot?
I talk about it all the time. I'm very up for it. I don't want my consciousness to be uploaded to the cloud.
Oh right.
And, happened on a recent episode of Black Mirror, But I do want my brain as is to be put in a robot body where I get an extra like 500 to 1,000 years. Just because I'm having a great time on this planet. Everything's really good.
So you think it's all in the mind. Like you think you'll still have a great, and I'm not arguing, I'm just questioning. You think it'll also be a great time inside the machine?
Yeah.
As long as you got
I don't feel very attached to my body.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's
a good point.
I live in my brain a lot more.
Mm. I hate my body.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to shake it off?
Yeah.
I want a new body where my hands can go around 360 degrees. I'm going to be taller next time. I'm excited for all of this.
And the other thing you've always said to me from when we started dating, you've always promised me, this is a promise that I really hope you never fulfill because it sounds terrible to me, that you would find a way to get leg extensions and become a very tall man.
I just want you to be happy.
I'm very happy with how tall you are.
I see your embarrassment while we're walking down the street every day. You always.
I've never wanted you to be taller, and you've always promised me that you'll find some way to to mechanically extend your legs and become my version of a scary nightmare.
I think it's also because you like to argue that, like, you both like to say that we're exactly the same height, and then you like to argue that you're like 5 foot five or 5 foot six. I like to argue that we're both 5 foot nine.
I do think we're the same height.
But you also think you're 5'5 or 5'6.
No, I think I've come to terms with the fact that I think I guess I'm 5'7.
And I have come to the terms with the fact that I'm definitely, according to doctors, 5'8.5.
Can we settle this?
We've already.
Can you?
It could be settled. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I mean, how would we? Are we just determining whether you're the same?
Okay, stand up.
Okay.
This is important. Okay, let's stand back to back. We can both stand up straight. Zig, can you? Okay.
I think that Ben might be like a hair taller.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
I think. So,
yeah, you're taller.
So
yeah.
A hair, like you, like a half an inch?
Like a 2.5-inch hair.
I'd say something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that might be like a magical half inch that brings me right from being your 5'7" to my 5'8.5".
No, I mean, kind of see it. I think you're...
Are we going to post this picture to the...
Yeah, we'll post it. Oh, yeah, we'll post it and...
I also look terrible in this picture.
That can be the new cover shot for this podcast when I quit at the end of this episode.
If I were giving a label to this picture, it would be that it looks like it's a demonstration of the fact that Madeline has a chin and I look like a worm person who's my face is directly connected to my body.
No, that's not true.
I hope to one day have my consciousness put inside of a worm person. And maybe today when I leave this podcast at the end of the episode.
Whatever I can do to help.
Thank you.
You think a lot about robots, much more than I do.
Yeah. And why don't you think about robots?
And they give me the creeps. I would prefer to just stay in my body and then I think have it die.
I think there's just been always something about me. Like when I watched the Jetsons growing up, that Rosie made, she was the best part of the show to me. And when we went to see Wall-E, I've never connected with anybody more.
That's true. You really like our Ben Axelrod, I don't know if you remember, but our wedding cake topper was a picture of Wall-E and Eva.
Oh, no, I
the
don't.
Two robots who fall in love in Wall-E. But everybody thought, it was like not a great, we got it off Etsy and it looked a lot better in the picture. And so in real life, everybody thought it was E.T. and like,
yeah.
I don't know, an egg or something. So Ben, would you like to do us the honors of being our first person to use the hat of hypochondria and
I would love to. And this is a beautiful hat.
No, thank you.
Right. Yeah. Here.
We'll get you guys a picture of the hat another week.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the question is, what do you think would be the worst way to die?
Ooh, good question. Of the many you could have chosen, I'm glad you picked that one.
So last night, I was talking to Madeline, and I said that I had been thinking about the question of how scared are you of death that you guys sometimes ask on the show.
Mm-hmm. We used to.
Yeah, I guess you used to. And I said to her, my answer to that question would be, I'm not scared of dying, but I am scared to death of being tortured.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's the whole thing about, like, they figured out one thing that's worse than death, which is torture.
Like if I'm going to be mugged, like, just either take my wallet and stuff or shoot me in the head and just let me die. But don't bring me to a room and pull out my teeth.
Oh, right.
I don't think anybody does that when they mug you.
So this is the mugger that I'm afraid of.
You're holding out on giving me that 20 in your shoe.
I guess it's a psychopath is what I'm scared of. So,
yeah.
So what would be the worst way to die would be to die at the hands of a psychopath who wanted to figure out every way to punish me.
Interesting.
As I was being killed.
You know what?
I shouldn't give anybody ideas, right?
Like, oh, no.
Anybody is listening to this podcast for ideas on how to kill you.
But if you are, please let us know. Ben, but if you've been listening to this podcast, coming up with new ways to kill people, then, like, I mean, I'd be interested. I mean, I'm going to try to talk you out of it, but I'd like to hear about it.
So theoretically, I wouldn't want all my teeth to be pulled out.
Right.
I wouldn't want my nose to be melted.
Yeah.
Please don't.
So, like,
put my ears on a stretching machine. These would all be the worst way to die. I'm scared of fire.
Just don't, in general.
Me too.
Please don't, what is it called? Cremate me alive. I don't want to be cremated alive.
So it's got to be at the hands of someone else. Like, for instance, like, there are a lot of things, you know, a lot of diseases manifest themselves in ways that are not that dissimilar from torture. Is it the prolonged of it? Is it the fact that an evil person is doing it to you? Is it a combination of?
Yeah, I think that there is really something upsetting to me about malice being involved with being killed. There was a night that I was out in the woods with some friends. It was like very late at night in Yosemite National Park, and it was beautiful out. And I felt in that moment like if a bobcat or something burst out of the forest and bit my neck and started to chew me to death, I would be sort of at peace with it because it would be like a animal just trying to live, and I would be fine with that.
Yeah,
but there's something about it being a sick human being.
Yeah. Like who wants you to feel pain.
So a well-meaning disease.
Disease is just doing what a bobcat does. Just trying to live.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to be tortured by a sick human.
I feel like the gist is at someone else's hands and with the intent to do you great harm. Like, as opposed to, like, you know, getting into a massive car wreck or something where just, you know, two cars collided. It's a terrible way to go, but, like, no one meant for it to happen.
Yeah.
Got to be a murder.
In that case, I really wouldn't want it to be stretched out. Like, I'd love to just be killed on impact and not have it be like a long thing where, like, I'm slowly dying.
You're more afraid of pain than you are of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. I am too. Yeah. I'd wonder who, I guess that's, unless you're like a sadist or masochist.
I mean, I wouldn't fall in the category of somebody who likes pain either.
Yeah.
But you do hear about those people, like, you know, professional fighters and stuff, they say it makes them feel alive, that, like, the ability to feel means something.
I guess
it could exist. Yeah. But yeah, definitely I can't think of anyone other than a sadist who would want to be tortured.
But I do think I have a pretty high pain tolerance in regular life. That's part of why I just don't want my limits to be tested.
Yeah.
What, how do you have a high pain tolerance?
I feel like
example.
You're always...
Yeah.
then I can just ignore something that's wrong with me for like a long period of time. Like if I have the flu or something, it, like you're the one who wants me to go to the doctor and get rid of it. I'd be happy to just live with the flu forever.
I don't know. Is that the same thing as a high pain tolerance, or is that just complacence?
I'm just not. I can be perfectly content during periods of being in pain.
Like, that's I feel like
my leg could be badly hurt, and I would just make peace with it.
Well, that's happened a lot. Like, I feel like where you're clearly very sick, and I'm like, hey, let's do something about it, and you're like, I'm fine.
Yeah, because life goes on.
Where do you think you get that from?
Well, growing up in my household, it was always very, you got a lot of credit for being like a good trooper and not complaining.
So you are not a hypochondriac.
I am not a hypochondriac. I feel like in general, I'm going to be able to walk most everything off. And I feel like, whereas you a lot jump to the worst case, I a lot jump to things being nothing. And I feel like there's been a lot of times that you've thought I've had the flu.
Yeah.
And we've gone to the emergency or like urgent care. Mm-hmm. And I feel like only one out of three of those times did I have the flu.
That's also not a reason to go to emergency care. That's like in 0% of the time a reason to go to emergency care.
Okay, just to clarify, we went to urgent care. We've never gone to urgent care because you had the flu. We went to the normal doctor one time when you had the flu so bad that you got in there and the lady was like, oh yeah, you have 104 degree fever. So that was a legit time to go to the normal doctor.
But then didn't you also take me to urgent care when I just had a bad migraine?
Yeah, twice. I did that twice.
And they were like, oh, just Advil will help.
Yeah, and you were like, please don't take me to the emergency room. And I was like, we have.
It's nice. You care about me.
Yeah.
I like that.
So do you get sick a lot? I know the answer to all these questions. I'm just trying to tell our
audience. I would say I've gotten better at not getting sick in the last few years because I'm better at growing up, I never liked spitting, but you've really encouraged me to do more spitting of stuff, and spitting makes me get better quicker and not be sick for prolonged.
Use it when you have like a cough, like what you have right now.
Yeah.
Which you can cough audibly because this is a podcast about sickness.
I can cough right now the way I'm holding in a cough.
Yeah,
so I can
give us a cough. Don't cough right in the mic, but yeah.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, that wasn't a fun one.
Yeah. No, you have a cough. You're sick.
Yeah, a little sick.
A little sick,
you
not
have
bad.
A real smoker's cough.
So I guess to answer your question, I'm sick 100% of the time. I've been sick for years. No, I'd say I get sick a few times a year.
Yeah.
Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, you don't seem to get sick a ton. You have gotten a lot of poison ivy.
Yes, a lot of poison ivy. I've gotten it on all over my body at different times. And I've gotten it in ways that feel really dumb and unfortunate. Like I once swung on a poison ivy vine, thinking it was just a regular like Tarzan vine, but it was covered in poison ivy.
Where was this?
It was in like Nebo, North Carolina.
Oh. There's swingable vines in North Carolina. I didn't know that. Yeah. In my head, they're all in the jungle.
But be careful.
Oh, yeah, no, I will. It's just swinging from Bojangles to Bojangles. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so I guess I've never broken a body. I've never broken a bone. I think I'm generally on the healthy side.
But have there been any times where I've been, like, correct? In my health concerns.
I can't think of a time that you've been correct about anything.
Hey!
No, just kidding. You're almost always correct. I think we reviewed it, right? The one time that you were... Are you thinking of a different time that you were right about something?
No, I'm trying to think of if I was ever right about something.
I think you were... The time that I had 140-degree fever, you were validated then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do want to say, because people who've listened to the show have gotten to know Madeline and her hypochondria, I wish I could play like a montage of moments at home when you're like, ah, I think I've burned off my eyebrows. I got something in my eye. I think my retina's detached. is this bump on my shoulder mean I'm dying? You really are like every bit. I don't feel like you're playing it up on the show. You really are a serious, crazy hypochondriac.
All those things are real examples.
My hair is falling out in clumps. That's awesome. I'm not going to have any hair anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just funny because you're like the very picture of health. You seem like Madeline and her family have always felt like the Kennedys to me.
Oh, really?
They're just like so sporty and tall and vital.
Destined to be assassinated.
By this man sitting at home listening for ways to torture us.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for the eyebrows, torturer.
I burned my eyelashes. Did I talk about that on the show? Where I thought I singed my eyelashes off?
I mean, I remember it, but I don't know if it was on the podcast or just in life.
I was cooking something. Our oven used to be broken. It used to just get sometimes randomly get very hot. Mm-hmm. And so it was like probably at like 500 or 600 degrees. And I was roasting some vegetables and I opened the oven up and it sent a blast of heat so fast into my face that I could feel my eyelashes curl up. Ooh. And then I was like, I singed my eyelashes off. And I spent the whole night Googling like singed eyelashes and then taking pictures of my eyelashes and trying to zoom in on old pictures pre-singed to see if there was like a notable difference between the length of my eyelashes. I think I singed them a little bit.
But you kind of felt like they were gone forever.
Yeah. I was like, well, I don't have any eyelashes anymore. I mean, I have to try to figure out a replacement.
What do eyelashes do anyway? I mean, are they like, it seems like the lid is what protects the ball. Mm-hmm. So what are the lashes for?
They keep junk out of there. Yeah,
so it's like particles?
Dust. Yeah.
I don't buy it. No, I do. Yeah, I do like to be the guy who asks questions of other people that I have no answer to, but then just completely I like to extinguish whatever they use to put out my particular flame. I say, oh no, whatever you said is wrong. Yeah. That's how I feel.
Do you want to try again?
Oh, yeah,
ask me another question.
Yeah. What are fingernails for?
Fingernails are actually for keeping eye gunk out of your fingernails.
Not according to me.
No, I don't know. I don't know what fingernails are for.
Protect the tips of your fingers.
Yeah, I think also for grip.
Oh, for grip?
Yeah. Like, you know, the nails help you to...
You grip everything with your fingernails.
It helps. As somebody who... I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, you're
we're,
right.
We're men. We keep them short.
I keep mine short too. I'm not a man.
Oh, not what I've heard. No, I'm just that was another example of me answering or refusing to accept answers that I receive.
They're weird if you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fingernails.
They're really weird. They're like just like a hard little lid on the top of.
But we think they're grip connected.
I don't think that's their primary. But it definitely. I just know that it helps when you cut your fingernails and then you go to pick up stuff like, I don't know, I can't think of an example, but just certain things that...
I thought of something. Scratching.
Oh, yeah,
they're
scratching.
If you're an animal. And, yeah, I think they're like
they're
a part of us being animals and scratching things.
Oh, yeah.
But it is fun that we're so disconnected from our animal selves that we can kind of forget why different parts of our body exist.
It's true. It's like, why do I have this tail?
Great question.
Swat them flies.
So, Ben... Oh, well, I have two questions. Has my general hypochondria increased yours at all? Like, in the past 10 years of our lives together, has my health anxiety bleeded into your life?
No. I think that it's one of those things where it went in the opposite direction, where I feel like you feeling that way, like you being yin makes me a yang. Mm. But probably if you weren't around, like I would have all the things that you used to say in the back of my head, and I would start to get worried in that case. But I feel like getting to hear you say them out loud, they all sound so silly to me, all your concerns, that I get to think of myself as like the voice of a non-alarmist.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But if you were around somebody who was like a zero or like a one on the how much do you think about death or whatever, you would probably be the other end of the spectrum. That's how, I mean, I've noticed from my own watching of sports that there are some people I watch sports with who are convinced that the team that we're rooting for is going to lose the second things go poorly, and some who kind of never worried about it whatsoever. And depending on who I'm sitting with, my reaction will fall somewhere within that spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah. Just,
because you're with a hypochondriac, that the function of hypochondria, which is to protect ourselves from whatever it is that, you know, that could be coming for us. And in this case, it's like sickness and disease as opposed to the torturer who's coming for you in your nightmares. But as long as somebody is doing that worrying, the other person doesn't have to. And so you two would, you know, you would sort of team up to handle all of those concerns that life would throw at you, one or the other, the same way that one would, you know, distribute chores around the house. That's what we do.
I think you've changed how I would act with a child. We don't plan on having kids right now, but I feel like because of you, I would adapt a better safe than sorry feeling, mm-hmm. where if a kid had like a little thing growing on his arm, like something that looked like a mole,
yeah.
I would want to go to a dermatologist and get it checked out, whereas left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, things just grow.
Things just... I feel like in general, you are non-alarmist in a pretty positive way. Like, I feel like my... like hypochondria is like a little bit part of like a general impulse I have to like worry about something before it happens.
Yes.
And I think you have a very healthy tendency to like to not worry about a problem until it is real. I feel like with work stuff too, I'm always like worried about like, will I lose a job or will I never? I'm always like, I'll never get another job again. I always think I'll never get another job again.
And I'm always. Yeah, but we balance each other out.
Yeah.
I think your worry does turn into productive action.
Mm-hmm.
My lack of worry can sometimes lead to not enough action. So, but
I feel like you do. Also, I feel like your lack of worry enables you to like take action, but not in like an anxiety ridden, sort of fear motivated way.
I just think balance each other out well.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I'm very grateful for that. And I feel like I have become a lot, it is that kind of yin and yang thing where I become a lot less alarmist in general. Like if I'm surrounded by other people who are like a little more worried about things on a regular basis, then like, I feel like I become the voice of like, no, we're fine. This is fine.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
It has to be.
So you just got a Fitbit.
I love it. Changed my life.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's such a great thing. I love gamification. An idea that our friend Cece Pierce talks about a lot is really interesting to me. Like just somehow making people work towards a certain number of points for a day. It's very effective, at least for me, in changing my own behavior. I love having a goal of 10,000 steps and having a thing that really reports to me how well I'm doing in that.
I've never seen Ben more excited about anything other than his Fitbit.
Nice. Are you getting to 10,000 most days?
Yeah. Ben, it's actually making me like, if I'm at 8,000, I'll go take a walk until I'm at 10,000.
Nice.
Which feels very positive. It's accidentally making me more active. Not accidentally.
Yeah,
that was purposeful. That's what I was. I feel like it's something that, like, it's sort of dumb the way it's helped me, but I knew that I was as dumb as I am. And that's why I wanted it.
It's just a quantifiable goal. And it's just that there, for whatever reason, that probably matters more to people than literally anything on the planet. It's just a way to say I have done enough today so that it's okay for me to go to sleep feeling like I've accomplished something.
Yes. I think I always want more of that with career stuff,
mm-hmm.
like just quantifiable amounts of, you know, data that shows that I did my day right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. It's like no one ever like tosses and turns in bed when they've done good over the course of the day. We sort of, yeah. you know, it's tossing and turning is for people that feel like they've misspent their day or for insomniacs. But, you know, yeah. But usually that, you know, that's not typically going to be a sleep condition either. That's just something that's going on in your brain and it's keeping you from doing the things that you need to do over the course of a day to be a healthy person, you know?
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like you're very good at sort of setting goals and keeping them. Like so, okay, so this is our New Year's, our first episode of the new year. And you've always been into New Year's resolutions.
Yes, love New Year's resolutions.
Why is that?
Just because I love the idea that people can change and improve and get better. And I like striving for that.
Mm-hmm. Can you run us through your past?
I feel always
several, yeah.
like sort of a mess. And I like to try to clean it up.
Can you run us through your past like 5 years of New Year's resolutions?
Oh, my goodness.
Or the past couple of years?
Every year there's something health related in my effort to become less like a worm person.
You're not like a worm person.
Ironically, I do think it's when I stand up my tallest that I look most like a worm person.
So I actually thought you looked like a worm.
I don't stand as tall as I could because I think I look better when I'm not standing up tall.
I think I look better when I'm not standing up tall, too.
Never thought about it once.
Well, you're a very healthy, well-adjusted person for not thinking about
it. That's how I'm frequently described, healthy, well-adjusted person.
At our wedding, someone was like, our friend Laura was taking a picture of me and another friend, and she was like, why are you standing like that? And I was like, absolutely, like, just like, I was like slouching. She's like, I was taking a picture with a friend who is my height, and she's like, you don't need to slouch, stand up. And I... like looked at both pictures side by side, and I was like, "Oh yeah, huh. I was folding myself in half for no reason." Yeah.
So I really want to be in good shape in the long run, and I'm scared of not having that. So I always have New Year's resolutions that are about that.
Mm-hmm. What makes you scared of not being like? Where does that fear come from?
I think that the men in my family have a history of. Like at least in my like dad's my dad's dad passed away at 70 and his father I think passed away also young and so and I don't think for either of them it was things that could too easily have been avoided but because that's true of like the men in my family I just want to make sure, I am avoiding that.
Well, I appreciate that personally.
Sure. Me too.
So they're always health related. So like what like when was
my great grandfather? I feel like the story is something like he got hit by a car. He died of diabetes, but he got hit by a car while going to get a Coca-Cola.
No.
Which sounds like something exactly like what I would do.
You used to drink.
I love Coca-Cola.
That's great.
I used to drink. I've changed a lot over the course of my life because as a 15-year-old, I would drink at least 2 liters of Coke a day.
Wow. I probably would too.
Would you ever drink so much Coke that you could hear it sloshing around in your stomach?
I drank a lot of Coke, but I don't know if... I mean that's a very specific thing. I would say I used to drink like a 6-pack of it a day though.
I have memories of hearing of like being able to like gyrate my stomach and hear Coca-Cola bouncing around.
And you
specifically after getting like a supersized drink at McDonald's because I would always I still have my order memorized but. I would get a double quarter pounder with cheese meal, supersized fries, and a supersized Coke. I could say it really quick. Like 12, 13, 14.
That's so cute.
So as a 15-year-old, I was overweight. I was like 175 pounds and like 4 inches shorter than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents just very nicely at one point suggested that maybe I cut it down. And I, the only change I made in my diet was that I cut out Coke.
Uh-huh.
And I instantly lost like 30 pounds. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, they say if you drink a Coke a day every day, you'll gain 20 pounds a year.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and when I say they say, listeners, what I mean is that I don't know who says it, but I've heard it before. And so it may be true, it may be not, but I've definitely heard that. A Coke a day, 20. And then, you know, then there's also those things that have nothing to do with weight, but that, you know, if you leave like a penny in like a cup of Coke for like 3 days or whatever, like it completely strips all the copper off of it or whatever. Coke can't be good for you.
It can't, but it was hard to drop because Coke was part of my identity.
Yeah.
My room, if you go to my childhood room, it's covered with Coke, like Coca-Cola bears and Coca-Cola posters and different
bottles. Yeah.
And bottles of Coca-Cola, like decorative bottles. Yeah. And if you had asked me at like age 13, like, what are the three important things about you? One of them would have been like, I love Coca-Cola.
What would the other two have been?
I love Nintendo Power Magazine and video games. I love my family.
Nice.
Yeah, probably those.
That's a really
sweet
list of things for a 13-year-old kid to like.
The family is what makes you uniquely you. All those other things would be 99% of the people that have been on this podcast.
Yeah,
basically comedy in general seems to have been very focused on drinking sugary beverages, Nintendo Power, and playing video games. But they didn't they don't seem to care about their families. That's why they all went into comedy.
I care a lot about my family.
Yeah, you do. should we play this? Should we play this game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Nice.
So this game is called Husband versus Husband. I won't tell you who came up with this brilliant title for this game, but I'll tell you it's Ben Axelrod.
And I want nothing to do with it. I want it to go away.
He said, this has got to be the title.
No,
this is an excellent title.
He said I would quit this podcast after this episode. It's going to be my theme from now on. I'm quitting the podcast each episode.
So that's this is funny. Basically like...
One.
Oh, okay. Here you go, Ben.
Thank you.
This is like the newlywed game.
Ben who?
Ben Green.
Am I husband or husband?
I don't...
Well, no, you're...
I don't know. This.
Near neither.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would be the Ben, and she would be the
band.
The husband. Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
No. I'm telling you what Ben made us title the game.
I did not.
Insisted on it.
Okay.
Okay. So Zig is going to ask us a series of questions, health related questions.
Good.
And this is sort of like the newlywed game, but Ben Axelrod and I are going to compete to see who knows you the best. Just as your wife and as one of your best friends, we're gonna see who.
Those are both Madeline.
Yeah.
I'm a new acquaintance. No, it's not true. I'm your very best friend, and I want you to go through the list of people I top. Only if we both know them and we think they listen.
You got it.
You're going to write your answer to Zig's question on a piece of paper.
Great.
Ben Green. Here's a pen.
Thank you.
Ben Green. You get it?
Yeah. Pen. Well, I hadn't gotten it. I was saying I got the pen.
I gave you a pen and I said it was Pen Green.
That's very clever. I like Pen Green. Maddle
so
Pen
nice
Walter.
Yeah.
Was that good?
That's great.
Maddle Pen. Penter.
One of that reminds me of one of the very first interactions Ben and I ever had was Ben went through a phase in college where he was making a lot of drawings on Microsoft Paint and posting them on early Facebook. And we didn't really know each other very well, but we were like in the same, we were on the same improv training team. And so Ben made Muppet versions in Microsoft Paint. Is this right?
Yeah, this is right.
Of every member of this like improv training program. And he made a picture of me. The Muppet version of me is this enormous sort of Jabba the Hutt looking lady.
It's the grandma dinosaur from Dinosaurs. Ethel Phillips. And so I named it Madethel Phillips.
I think it was Madethel Falter.
Oh, maybe that's it.
We'll post it on. We can post it on our Instagram if you want to see Ben's first ever picture of me.
Before we were dating.
Before we were dating.
When I was really just trying to make sure we would never get to date.
There's a picture of me, of my eyes and mouth on the grandma dinosaur from Dinosaurs.
That was my way of saying I thought you were pretty.
So we're going to, so you're going to answer for real, Ben, and then. And then Ben, Axelrod, and I are going to try to guess what your answer will be, and we'll see who's correct.
Oh, that's so fun.
Luckily, I can see your answer. So.
Oh, yeah. Here,
I'll,
Ben,
I'll hide it.
You can hide it.
How will I see them, then? So I can win this game.
No. Okay, Zig.
Okay, first question. What is your least healthy habit?
Ooh.
It's not this Coke anymore because you kicked it.
I kicked regular Coke. I still drink Diet Coke, but that's not the answer.
Okay, I took a guess. I don't know if mine, but I took a guess.
Did you already write it ears down? Okay.
Okay, my guess is eating too many pickles.
That's a great guess.
Because it's got a lot of sodium.
Great guess.
I said fast food.
I think Ben wins because my answer was love McDonald's.
Yep. Oh, I knew it. Okay, that's 1 point.
Point for me.
For Ben.
I go to McDonald's all the time.
I love McDonald's too. Yeah. Have we?
We're a McDonald's family.
One of our first one, like the time, I feel like we like universally recognizes when we both realized we were like probably going to be together for a long time was the night we went to a McDonald's and then a Wendy's back to back.
Yeah, like, I've heard this story.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We tell it all the time. I also when I saw Super Size Me. My big takeaway was that all that food just looked really good.
Yeah.
I know. I saw Super Size Me and it didn't have an impact on me either.
Made you just hungry.
Because you can't watch 30 days elapse over an hour and a half and not just want the food that was, it's just an hour and a half.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing, no one's ever shown me anything for an hour and a half and me not wanted it.
No.
That's why I voted for Trump.
I know. No,
I didn't vote, guys.
Do you remember the song they sing in Super Size Me?
No, what is it?
McDonald's, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza. McDonald's, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza. I like food. I like food. Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza.
Isn't that, that was like a guy on YouTube saying that, right?
There was a bunch of kids.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what is, oh, this is, I don't ask the questions.
Yeah. All right, next up. What is your most healthy habit?
Ooh.
Most healthy habit.
Got it. Locked.
Okay, I got it too.
Okay, what are you guys' answers?
Hey, Ben, what was yours?
Going to the gym, working that elliptical.
Yeah, me too. I was going to the gym. LA Fitness El Centro, baby. Yeah.
I thought about writing going to the gym, but then I wrote that I sometimes eat an apple.
Oh, that's true. You have one right there. Literally right there.
You
all right.
Sometimes eat an apple.
Okay.
We got no points. Neither of us got any points on that.
Nope.
But also, you do sometimes eat an apple.
But I've gotten way better at going to the gym.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my Fitbit helps now.
I mean, I think... What the goal of this game is for us to answer what you answered. That said, I think Madeline and I are right, and you're not right, that like going to the gym is a better habit than eating an apple every once in a while.
Wait, like, we get a point for being more correct.
Yeah, you got the time pressure.
Because it's sort of like quantifiable. Like, you got to put in a lot of apples in order to equal gym time, right? Am I wrong?
I know. You're absolutely right. I feel like recently I've been like, why don't you eat an apple?
You have been. The time pressure of this game is the only thing that's hard for me.
I think it's like a good equalizer.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Who is your favorite character on Girl Meets World?
Oh, shit.
That's a great question. I love Girl Meets World. Ben loves Girl Meets World.
This is going to be a toughie because I have too much information to go on, and not even information about you. It's sort of like, I mean, what are we referring to as a character on Girl Meets World? Is it like a recurring character? Could it be a recurring character from Boy Meets World? I know you don't have the answer to this. All right, I got it.
Okay. And yeah, do you guys want to read your answers?
Yeah.
I also want to go on record saying I do not watch Girl Meets World.
You're missing out. So good.
So, can I ask, does it have to be a character? Does it have to be one of the main cast on Girl Meets World, or it can be
so.
Anyone?
I think it's any.
How did you answer?
I feel like we have to hear your answer.
All right, I'm going to give two answers then.
Ooh.
Because I feel like I was put in a position to fail, and I will, and I refuse.
You just have to guess. Part of this game is guessing the way that I think.
Well, yeah, but we've already determined that you don't think correctly, and then we have to correct your answers.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Sean Hunter.
Great.
But then I said, if we're just thinking in terms of the main cast of Girl Meets World, yeah. I went with Maya.
Okay, great. I love Maya. What about you, Madeline?
Sean's dad?
He's a ghost.
Isn't he a ghost?
Yeah, he's a ghost.
My answer was Mr. Feeny.
Oh!
Because he... And
I gave Ben a shirt that instructed people to vote for Mr. Feeny for president, which in retrospect was a third-party candidate that may have cost Hillary the election.
Yeah. I wrote in Mr. Feeny.
I hope you did. Feeny would... I don't know why I didn't go with Feeny.
Maya is of the main kids. She's my favorite.
Yeah,
is that
Sean's dad is my favorite
of the ghost
characters. Mr. Feeny is my favorite overall.
Can you explain for the audience why you guys both like why as two men in your 30s you both like Girl Meets World?
Couple of creeps.
Yeah.
Can
you explain why you prefaced it with men?
Boy Meets World, for me, Boy Meets World was like one of the most important shows to me growing up. It was very influential. I dreamed oftentimes in episodes of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of actual important lessons growing up from Boy Meets World. I feel like Mr. Feeny was an actual teacher to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all these unanswered questions when the show ended. Things like, what happened to Mr. Turner? Because he gets in a motorcycle accident in an episode, and then they never revisit it through the rest of the series, which went on for like five or six seasons after that. So now, to have it be that there's a new TV show that happens like 15 years after Boy Meets World was on the air, and it's this show Girl Meets World, and it has the answers to some of those questions, like we find out what happens to Mr. Turner. Like, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
He goes on to become Ben's second favorite ghost in the series.
That's a great answer.
Next question, Zig.
Yeah.
What's your greatest health-related fear?
I'm going to answer slightly different than the torturing.
Oh,
yeah,
damn it.
Well, torturing doesn't seem health-related. I guess it's, yeah.
Biggest health-related fear.
Yeah, this one's a toughie. I'm just going to take a guess.
Yeah, I'm taking a guess, too.
And it's, yeah, health-related. Yeah. I just have an answer. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I keep forgetting that it's not that important to win this game.
Okay. Got it.
What do you got, Madeline?
I said having no chin.
Okay.
You talk like, about it a lot.
I feel like everything you've learned about me, you've learned in this podcast.
No. That's not true.
I went with choking to death.
Ooh.
Choking to death. I wrote that June becomes sick, our little cat.
Oh! Because
that is health related.
That's true.
That's
it
a
was
really
never specified
interesting
if it
interpretation
was my health.
Of the question. Yeah.
We basically all went with different interpretations of the question.
Yeah.
We all get a point.
Yeah.
No, we don't get a point.
We're looking at these questions like it's the Talmud. We all have our different interpretations. Okay.
Oh, do you want a medical question?
I just want Zig's favorite question to end it.
Oh man. Okay, it's a little divisive, but who's your favorite co-host of Definitely Dying?
Oh Jesus.
And we are neck and neck. The scores are tied right now.
Oh no.
Oh shit. So this is for all the marbles.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
How did you answer this?
Okay. I wrote it. It was easy for me.
Nice. Who do you got?
Zig.
Alexis Preston. We answered the same.
Our two.
I wrote, my answer is B. Brodolin. No. Just a combination of your names.
It sounds like
B Brodelin.
Because I call Ben B Bro.
That's true. Yeah. And your name is Brodelin.
My name is
Bro. Yeah. No, that is a good B Brodelin. It sounds like an actress.
Yeah. B Brodelin.
Like one of those actresses. She's probably like 65 years old, yeah. And she's been in everything, but you never knew her name, and you're like, oh, that's Bea Brodelin.
Yeah, she played that like angry lady at the back of a bank line.
Yeah. No, she had like a series arc on like Justified or something.
Bea Brodelin. She's great.
Yeah,
we're talking to you in the morning. The Beatle, Big Ed, and Bea Brodelin.
So we tied. We tied in the game.
Tied. Is it tied?
Oh my gosh, Ben. Okay, I'm kind of putting you on the spot. You don't have to do this, but is there a tiebreaker question that you want to ask
of myself?
Yeah.
Sure. Can we just do one of the questions that are left?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or can I look at them now and choose which one?
Some of them are pretty redundant.
Okay.
We could just
so they're here.
Also.
No, I'd like there to be a winner. Hmm. Let's go with, what's your classic order at Cantor's Deli?
So you're setting it up for me to win.
Maybe I know.
Do you? You're going to put down pickles and Diet Coke and you know it.
Pickles and Diet Coke. Pickles and Diet Coke. That's a song I made the one time Ben and Ben let me come. I've come multiple times. Yeah.
At least twice.
Yeah.
All right. Madeline should answer first.
True.
Reuben?
So Madeline answered the Reuben. That sounds very specific as an answer. Now, Ben, you give your answer.
Brooklyn sandwich, Diet Coke, extra pickles.
I'll slowly turn around.
Oh, my gosh.
The Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn. Oh, no. And now, Ben, it's been lovely being married to you for
are we getting divorced?
For a year and a half, but clearly... I need to hand you over to Ben Axelrod, your new wife.
Will you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my B-bro? Will you?
I will.
We can share him.
Okay.
You will be his. I'll be his wife, and you can be his roommate and good friend.
Okay.
Yeah. You can be my Ben wife, and Malin can be my husband.
I'll be your husband. Yeah.
Nice. Ben, do you want to plug anything away?
I'll plug my children's book, How to Keep Your Helicopter.
Such a good book.
That you can buy on Amazon. I'll plug that you should buy more than one copy.
That's great.
Ben, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me on. I love this show. It was so fun to be on it.
Great.
And thank you, Zig.
Thank you, Zig.
No problem.
Thank you, Zig.
Well, Ben, you're the best.
You guys are the best.
I'll see you at our new married home. Yeah,
I'll see you. I'll see you at our new home, Cantor's.
See you at Cantor's.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.